We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended to hell.
The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended to heaven
and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the dead,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Welcome to Redemption Church. We have a saying around here. It's pretty new. I want you to get used to it. We are not a mega church, but we are a mighty church. The Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. They are mighty through God. Look at somebody say, we're not mega, but we're mighty. And that'll preach to you too. You might be looking at your situation and say, it's definitely not mega, but you better believe it's mighty. God wants to do mighty things in you. And I think He wants to do it today. He wants to do it today. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church. And we're in the final week of our Apostles' Creed series. I want to remind you that a creed is a formal statement of Christian beliefs, a set of beliefs or aims that guides someone's actions. Could we read the creed together? Right. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You're in a church today that believes in the Father. We believe that God is a Father. I've really enjoyed preaching that to you. I believe we're a church that believes that Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son. Yes. You're in that church. Amen. You're in a church that believes in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the power of God that now can reside on the inside of you. Yes. And in this final week, we're going to talk about our belief in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's what we're going to talk about today. As our care pastor, Marshall Blessing, told us last week, the word Catholic means universal. It means all-embracing. You might say it like this, the worldwide church. All right. And what church are we talking about? We're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. How many knows that church is all around the globe? It is all around the world. It's powerful and strong and mighty. There are many people that believe in God, yet do not believe in His church. It's a lot of people. Have you ever met somebody that says, I love God, I love the Bible, but church, no thank you. I pray at home, and they really do. I'm not calling them out on that. No, they really do. But they love God, but maybe they were hurt by His church. They love God, but they have been disillusioned by His church. They love God, but they don't see the point of His church. They believe in the Father. They believe in the Son. They believe in the Holy Ghost, but do not believe in God's church. I want to tell you today, you need to believe in God's church. Amen. You need to. That's something you need to believe in. You will never accomplish everything God has for you if you don't believe in His church. That's no small deal. All right. It is so powerful to believe in the blood of Jesus. Yes, you got to believe in that. It's so powerful to believe in the resurrection. Yes, you need to believe in that. You need to believe that there's one God. Absolutely. But you are missing the mark. You're falling short if you don't believe in God's church. Amen. Here are just a few things your Bible says about the importance of the church. This is a very short list, all right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And God placed all things under His feet. Whose feet?
Jesus.
The feet of Jesus. And appointed Him to be head over everything for the, what?
Church.
Now, let me also talk about that. This also goes hand in hand with the prophecy in early in Genesis, where it says that the seed of the woman, which would be Jesus, will crush the head of the serpent with his foot. Right here, Paul is absolutely tying to that. He's saying that Jesus Christ, God has placed everything under his feet. All things are under his feet. Death, hell, the grave, Satan, that serpent, all of that is under his feet. And he is appointed to be head over everything for the benefit, for the betterment of what?
The church.
The church. Why the whole gospel? Why Jesus being having his feet on everything and bringing about the victory? It is for his church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Now, there's a lot to get here. Number one, Jesus is the head of the church.
Yeah.
Is Jesus important?
Yes.
I haven't met a Christian yet that doesn't believe Jesus is important. Jesus is important. Well, then what he's the head over must be important.
All right.
And he's the head over the church. Yeah. The church is Jesus's body. Is the body of Jesus important?
Yeah.
Yes. His body became the sacrifice for our sin. Without his body, there's no sacrifice for sin, Sean. It's out of his body that the blood and the water flowed. That's his body. The blood that saves us came from his body. The church is his body. So does that sound like the church is important? Absolutely. The church is the body of him, Jesus, who is the fullness of God. That's what it says there. The fullness of him, talking about God who fills everything in every way. The church is his body. Do you get that Jesus Christ is the fullness of God and that fills the entire universe? It is God's plan that his church, his body, fills the entire world. And wherever there are people, that his body would be there, that people would be there. Does that sound important?
Yeah.
That when the church is present, Jesus is present. When the church loves and cares for people, it's Jesus loving and caring for people. We got scripture that says it. Does the church sound important? Does it sound like you should believe in the church of Jesus Christ?
Yeah,
you should. We're moving on. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. You should be connected to a group of people that are spurring each other toward love and good deeds. This is a scripture the church could bear in its heart a little bit more. That we are spurring each other on towards love and good deeds. A lot of the things we feel like we're spurred on is a political arguments or debates about government or debates about what the Bible says. But actually we should be spurring each other on towards love and good deeds. Somebody said love.
Love.
Somebody said good deeds.
Good deeds.
That's what we're spurring each other on. You need to be connected to a group that is spurring you on, and you are also spurring them on towards love and good deeds. That is the church. The church is this group that we're talking about. And we should meet together, it says. Let us not give up meeting together. The church is important. And you should gather together. You are here gathered together right now. But it's not just here on Sunday. Wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, Christ is right there in the midst of them. That means you could be having coffee with someone and you start talking about Jesus. You are being the body of Christ right there. That something powerful is happening right in the middle of Starbucks.
Amen.
Because you and someone else are together and Christ is in the middle. You're spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not forsake the meeting together, even if it's at a Starbucks. Even if it's at a connect group, even if it's at a Bible study, you need to meet together with the body of Christ.
Amen.
In fact, you should do it now more than ever because it says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day are we talking about? The day of Christ's return. We are closer right now to Christ's return than any other day.
Amen.
I feel very comfortable in telling you that.
That's
probably the only prophecy about the coming of the Lord I feel totally comfortable saying. We're closer now than we've ever been.
Right.
We're closer now than we've ever been. So because we're closer now, there ought to be more urgent. There ought to be more urgency in us to gather together, to spur each other on, to finish the race together. I got another verse to look at. Matthew 16 and 18. You probably know this verse. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, that's the gates of hell, will not overcome it. Do you believe in the church that Jesus is talking about right here? Do you believe in this church, this worldwide church that is built by who?
Jesus.
Who builds his church?
Jesus
Christ. I tell you, it is really easy in ministry to think that we are building his church. It's really easy to think, oh, I'm going to preach a good sermon today and I am going to build his church. That you're going to go and tell someone the right scripture, they're going to fall on their face and pray, and then you just built the church. No, it is Jesus Christ who builds his church. It is Jesus Christ that touches the heart of man. It doesn't matter how good the sermon is. It doesn't matter how good the worship is. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you can quote. It is Jesus Christ that touches the heart of men and saves them and draws them close. Do you believe in this church? Do you believe that you're in a church that Jesus Christ himself is building?
Yeah.
We're talking about the creator of all things. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. And now he is creating the church. What he is creating right now and building is just as powerful as when he said, let there be light. It is his church, and he is building it. And is it going to lose?
No.
I love this picture that Jesus says. He just comes out and says it. The church I'm building, it's going to be built on the rock. And it's going to be built close to the gates of hell. But Hades can't overcome it. That the expanse of his church is going to reach all the way to the gates of hell. The Bible tells us that hell enlarges itself daily. It's always growing. It's always trying to grow. It's trying to overcome his church, but it will not overcome his church. It doesn't matter what gets thrown at his church. His church is going to win because he's the one building it and he knows what he is doing. Do you believe in this kind of church?
Yeah.
Do you believe in the church of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
In the Apostles' Creed, it says Catholic Church. But we told you that that means universal. That means worldwide. The church of Jesus Christ is not a denomination. So when it says the Holy Catholic Church, it's not like you just fill in whatever denomination there. I believe in the Holy Baptist Church. I believe in the Holy Methodist Church. I believe in the Holy Pentecostal Assembly of God Church. I believe in the Holy No, it's not fill in your own blank. No, I believe in the worldwide church that is expansive and it reaches past all barriers into every culture.
All right.
Do you think of a church name when you think of the word church? For some people, that's how they think. When they think church, when they're talking about church, they're not talking about all churches. They're talking about this church with this name, this church with this name. Let me help you get out of that real quick. When you talk about church, that church shouldn't be called by a person's name other than the name of Jesus. The church is called by his name. When we think of the church, we don't think of titles like Baptist. We don't think of titles like Methodist. We think of our Savior.
All right.
And how he's calling us all out of darkness. Do you believe in the church of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, good,
Chris. This church that he is building, it reaches past denomination. This church that he's building, it reaches past language and it reaches past nationality. This church, anyone can join this church. It doesn't matter about their past. They are welcome in his church. This church looks at the needs of many and says, how can we help? It is spurred on towards love and good deeds. That is his church. His church walks into dangerous situations and is not afraid because God himself has sent us into fire and stands in the fire with us. His church walks into Roman Colosseums and faces down lions giving Jesus praise. This church meets even when it's in danger of being killed and beheaded overseas right now or in the past or even in China in the undergrounds. His church is powerful and it is amazing and it is like no other thing on the face of the planet. Do you believe in his church? I know you believe in the Father. You believe in the Son. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? You believe in all those things. Do you believe that you are his church? You are that amazing group that I'm talking about. You have that amazing calling in your life. God is calling you to do those amazing things. Do you believe that, Redemption Church? I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. You need to believe in the future of the church. The church becomes his bride. You think God's going to let anything bad happen to his bride? God's going to save his bride, protect his bride. The Bible tells us his blood, the blood of Jesus, washes away every stain. And that his bride stands clean of everything in the past. That's the future of his church. This is why the Apostles' Creed declares, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. You see, our future is not attached to our past. Everyone else in the world, they've got this past and they're trying to overcome their past. They're trying to hide their past. They're trying to get past their past. You can't ever get past it. But Jesus Christ, he covers all our sins, all our iniquities, and he brings us from unrighteousness to righteousness. He imputes his righteousness upon us. That's the future of his church. Do you believe in the forgiveness of sins?
Yeah.
That's your future. That's your future. You are going to stand before the throne of Jesus with nothing to worry about. You are going to stand before his throne completely pure. That's your future. You believe that? That's powerful. The church will rise from the dead. You want to talk about the church's future? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us that those that are in Christ, those that are in the body of Christ, will rise from the dead. The dead. That's why the Apostles' Creed says that we believe in the resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
That is our future. That's the future of the church. That is not just a story. That means I believe with everything in my heart that everybody that is in the church all the way in the past and they're dead and gone, everybody that was in the church and we buried them and we left them at the cemetery, they are going to rise from the dead. Because the future of the church is the resurrection that comes through Jesus Christ. The church will experience life everlasting. Life everlasting. That's what Jesus promises his church. 1 John 2 and 25 tells us this. And this is what he, Jesus, promised us. Even eternal life. Do you believe in that promise today? That's the future of his church. Are you worried about death? Death is something serious to worry about. You worried about death? If you're worried about death, you need to get planted in his church. Are you worried about the people you love dying? You need to get them planted in the church because they received the promise, what Jesus promised us, even eternal life. I believe in the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. Look at somebody and say, I believe in the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and tell them. I believe in the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that his church is bigger than this room right now.
Yeah. Amen.
It is so much bigger. Sometimes when we come to church, we're like, well, this is his church. In fact, I shouldn't say it that way. There are churches out there that believe we're the only ones being saved. There are churches it's us four and no more. We're the ones that are being saved and everybody else, they need to get with it and come listen to us because we're, no. If that's what you believe, you need to check again because his church is not one building. It's not a structure at all, but it definitely can't be contained in one room. No, the Bible tells us that we see his church and this says it in Revelation, that it is a number that can't be numbered. It's a group of people you can't even count. It's too big. Do you have that picture of the church? Sometimes when we're walking through life, we feel like the church is in the minority, that the church is the underdog, that the church, you know, is fighting for everything it gets and the church is in trouble. No. The church is huge. The church is big and you can't even count it all. It's big. The church is bigger than this room. And it's bigger than national borders. Some people, they think that, you know, they get racism in their heads. Christians that are racist need to read their Bible. Because we are all one in Christ. There's no longer Greek or Jew. We're all one in Christ. But there are some people that they'll fight against different races and different nationalities. And they'll think, oh no, those people are that way. Or those people have that color skin. And it's ridiculous. The KKK somehow claims to be a Christian group. That is the worst thing ever. Read your Bible, KKK members. Full of hate. They're not full of Jesus. All right. God's church, it goes beyond skin color. It goes beyond language. It goes beyond you having to meet some mark. Like, I've got this much money in the bank or I've got this much notoriety. No, his church goes beyond all those things. All those things are superficial and meaningless. The real meaning comes in finding Jesus at the foot of the cross and coming into his church. That's where the real meaning is. It's right there. That's where the real life change happened for you, right? Amen, amen,
amen.
You are God's church, but not just you. Everyone else in the body of Christ is included. One way the Bible talks about it, it says the household of faith. Everyone that comes into his household through faith, they become part of his family. They are the church too. Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? Y'all like it when I'm honest?
Yeah.
It's kind of scary when I'm honest, really. But being growing up, I grew up in a certain sect of Christianity. And I was in this little compartment right here. And I really believed, man, everyone else is lost but us right here in this little square. And it's like, oh, those people are so nice, but they are fill in the blank other denomination of Christianity. Oh, those people are so nice. It's a shame that they are fill in the blank of that other denomination of Christianity. What is that? I'm so proud to be set free from that. That I believe that God loves more than just what's in the room right now.
Amen.
That that I haven't attained something myself, and that I'm just as fortunate to be loved by Jesus as everyone else. This is why you need to believe in the communion of saints. Communion is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. Those that believe ought to share together in relationship. Believers ought to share together. Does this happen much in the body of Christ? Does this happen near enough in the body of Christ? I would say no. I would say, no, it doesn't happen near enough.
Well, you know, I don't agree with that church down there says what they believe. Nope. Yeah. Oh, what that church over there. Sorry, they use the wrong kind of communion wafers. No, sir. Those people over there. And we'll end up finding reasons not to have communion with people. To have unity with people. To have fellowship with people, to worship God together, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We'll erect these walls that keep us separated from the rest of the body of Christ. We let disagreements separate us. And let me tell you, sometimes those disagreements are really stupid. Sometimes they're really, real. They don't matter to a hill of beans. I know of churches that split, like, half the church went this way, half the church went this way over the subject of, did Adam have a belly button? Did he have a belly button?
Well, yes, he had a belly button. I mean, he would be a freak if he didn't have a belly button. Oh, no, not so fast. He didn't have a belly button because he never had an umbilical cord. Brah, I can't even worship with you anymore. Bam, just kill the church right there, split down the middle.
A very unfortunate. Is that the communion of the saints? Is that the plan of Christ? Would we all agree, yeah, God has so much more for them than their paltry, silly arguments. God has more for us also. He has so much more for us. Let me tell you something. This is a dangerous thing to say, but I want you to give me a chance to explain it. Here it is. None of us are right. It's really stupid to enter into a disagreement with somebody when no one is right in the disagreement. So everybody just holds to their fallacy and no one is improved by it, right? None of us are right, and that is okay. We are not saved by having our theology in order.
Well, I know all these theological terms and I'm absolutely correct in my interpretation of Scripture. Now I have achieved salvation. I've leveled up to salvation now.
No, that's not how you're saved. You're saved. How are you saved? We are saved by grace through faith in the one who loves us, Jesus Christ. If your plan of salvation includes any other thing where you are attaining it and building it yourself, you don't understand. Jesus builds his church, nobody else. Jesus adds to the number daily. That's his church. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2, that Jesus was adding to the church daily. Amen. So it's not our theology. It's not, well, oh my goodness, if I'm not right on everything in the Bible, then I probably am not saved. Or if I have a question about the Bible and I bring that up, everyone's going to doubt my salvation. I've been around that. It's ugly. I'm not making stuff up. I was around someone that they brought up what a different interpretation of creation. Well, could it be their question was, you have Adam and Eve, and then suddenly there's all these other people around, it seems. Could it have been this other way that God created Adam and he created Eve, but that just referred to groupings of men and women, all right? Simple, honest question, followed by a lambasting of, well, if you don't believe the Bible, what's the point of being a believer? That was their response. So that person learned to never ask another question.
Right.
That person learned to never think outside the box again and get back in their denominational little square. That's not how God created the church to be. Can I get an amen on that? None of us are right. And here's what I mean by that. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. We'll read this together. Here's what I mean by none of us are right. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Looking forward. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Verse 13. Until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. All right, so let's break this down. Let's go back to that first verse there, verse 11. He gave us, this is called the fivefold ministry. If you ever hear somebody talk about the fivefold ministry, it's right here. Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I always think it's interesting to point out preachers are not listed because preachers are people that tell the good news of Jesus. You are all called to be preachers. It's not part of the fivefold ministry. It's a simple life in Christ. All right. But that's beside the point. He gives us the fivefold ministry for two reasons. Two reasons. Verse 12. Number one, to prepare God's people for works of service. Wait a second. You mean they aren't prepared already? You mean no one's prepared already? No, that's why he gives us ministry to prepare them. All right. Well, in other words, you aren't prepared yet to do ministry. So ministry comes to you in the form of the fivefold ministry. In other words, you don't have it all right. You aren't right. You don't have everything right, so God gives us the ministry to help us walk towards this, to prepare God's people for works of service. That's a continual preparation. None of us have said, all right, I don't need that anymore. I am fully prepared. No, not the case. And the second thing, number one, he gives us the fivefold ministry to prepare God's people for works of service. Number two, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, so the body of Christ, it's a finished work, right? I mean, if we're completely right in our theology, if we're completely right in everything we believe and everyone else is wrong, surely he's not talking about us. We don't need to be built up anymore. Wrong. No, he's continually building up his church. He's the chief cornerstone. The Bible tells us that his church is built on the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we're built on that and we're being built up. That's the foundation. He is not finished building his church. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he is still building his church. So don't just sit there and say, oh, I know all that already. Don't just sit there and say, no, that's for someone else. I am a complete work. You are not a complete work. The next word in verse 13 shows us. What's the next word?
Until.
You see, this is going to keep happening. That the fivefold ministry is here to build you up, to prepare you until something happens. Until we all reach in unity the faith. Wait, we aren't there yet. Don't freak out if you're in this church and you find out that someone believes something a little different about the Bible. Hey, the ministry is here to help us grow towards unity in the faith. So let me just say that. That means we shouldn't be yelling at the church across the street. Hey, bunch of losers, you need to read Ephesians or something like that. No, we're supposed to be growing in the unity in the faith. That's what the ministry is for.
All right.
That's what the word of God is for. And we've not reached it yet. And what next? And in the knowledge. You mean we haven't come to complete knowledge yet? You mean you don't have complete knowledge of the Son of God yet? No. No. And if you think you do, check yourself. Check yourself. That would mean the ministry is no longer necessary for you. No, the ministry is necessary for you to prepare you, to build you up until you reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That's why I have no worries about saying, I'm not completely right. I don't know everything there is to know about the Bible. I don't know everything there is to know about God. My theology in some ways are absolutely being shifted. Yeah, there are some things that are rock bed and God has totally built those things in me. But there are some other places in me. God is still reworking places in my heart. He's still building. He's still preparing me. He's still keep bringing me to unity. He's breaking down some pride and building up some humility. He's breaking down some fear. He's building up some faith. He's breaking down some false thinking and building up truth. All right. God is doing that. Church of Jesus Christ, He's doing that in us. The scripture goes on to say that ministry should happen until we attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, wait a second. Maybe you're like, all right, I've got unity in faith. Check. All right, I've got knowledge of the Son of God. Check. I can beat any like trivia board game questions about Jesus in the Bible. Marshall has that little board game he brings every once in a while. Never missed a question yet. Okay, if that's you, can you do this one? You've already become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Anybody there yet? Anybody willing to say, oh yes, I've totally got that in spades? No. We need the ministry. We need the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors. We need God's ministry building us up, preparing us. And so none of us should stand where we are saying, huh, bunch of losers, y'all need to get where I'm at. All right. Y'all need to be a lot like me. That would be assuming you're a finished work. You're not a finished work. And what often happens is churches put down stakes, tent stakes in the ground, said, all right, we reached our final destination, when God has further to bring them. Redemption Church, we're not fully shaped yet. God is still forming us. He's bringing us together into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God until we all attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. All right. None of us have done that. None of us have done that. In fact, I'm telling you, it won't be done until we see Jesus face to face. The Bible says we shall be like him, for we see him as he is. J. Dykes, I think that's when that's finally going to come to pass, that you become the full measure of Jesus Christ, that the full knowledge of the Son of God comes in you, the full measure, the full unity in faith comes to you. It really can only come to you by Jesus. You can't read enough books to make that happen. If we grow together, we will come into unity. We'll come into knowledge and attain the whole measure of Christ. As I'm coming to a close, I want to tell you that we need God and we need each other. I want to invite you into communion with the saints. Christ himself broke bread and he served wine. That's what he did when he served communion. And the New Testament church continued this in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. When it says they broke bread together, it's really alluding to the fact that they took communion together, that they had a communion meal together, that they were together, that they were the body of Christ in their homes. Not just the body of Christ in a building on Sunday, but every day, wherever they were that body. Today, I want to invite you to this altar, like right now. Right now, I'd love for you to line up. If you don't feel comfortable with that, you don't have to, but we're going to receive the Lord's Supper together. We're going to receive communion together. I want us to do it in a very special way. If you're watching this online or listening online, I want to encourage you. You need to connect to God's church. You need to be a part of his church. You need to find a good church. You need to be part of it. You need to let the ministry build you up and prepare you for all those works of service. If you've been believing that you believe in God, but you don't need the church, you need to rethink that. And that's my prayer for you today.